How do you spell badass liberal talk? BCR, Bart Cop Radio.
Some people say we got a lot of malice, some say it's a lot of love.
But she is not someone you interviewed for the job that you didn't know. You've known her a long time. Have you never discussed abortion with her?
In my interviews with any judge, I never asked their personal opinion on the subject of abortion.
Notice how he's trying to avoid giving a yes or no answer. That means, yes, he has talked to her about it, but he doesn't want to go on the record. Did you break the lamp? Breaking lamps is wrong. No, asshole. I asked if you broke the lamp. Nobody likes a broken lamp. Asshole, did you break the lamp? Check what he does next.
In your friendship with her, you've never discussed?
Not to my recollection, have I ever sat down with her.
What we have here is a practiced liar who's not too smart. She said, did you talk about it? He said, I don't have a litmus test. She said, no, monkey. I asked if you talked about it. He said, well, I told you I don't have a litmus test. And she said, sir, did you talk to her about it or not? And he said, well, I never sat down and had a conversation with her. So what does that mean? You stood up and talked to her? You monkey, you are a poor liar. You're just an awful liar, Mr. President. Oh, I never sat her down, had a conversation. What can the answer to that? Why can't you say no? You can't say no because you're guilty. Because if you say you've talked to her about abortion, then she can't testify that she's never talked about it with you or with anybody. Remember that liar Clarence Thomas said under oath? Didn't he say he had never talked about abortion with his wife in all the years they'd been together? Weren't they married 20, 25 years? And he said they had never had a conversation about abortion. You're a liar, Slappy. We have no respect for you. You're not a man. You're a small person. You're not even a good citizen. You perjured yourself. Live on the TV, you just perjured yourself. You're a liar, Slappy Thomas. We have no respect for you, Slappy. You're a liar. And you're such a clumsy liar like this president. We know you're lying. You look us right in the eye and lie. And everybody in the room knows you're lying. Slappy and Bush, sitting in a tree. L-Y-I-N-G.
What I have done is understand the type of person she is and the type of judge she will be.
That's more gobbledygook, Bush speak, that I don't think even he understands. It means nothing. I know her. I know what kind of person she is. I know what kind of judge she'll be. Well, hey, how about you break off a clue? Why don't you tell us something concrete? Pioneer. Good heart. That's all you got. The poor monkey. Just think, George, if you had 20 fingers, you'd be twice as smart.
A couple of weeks ago, you stood here in the Rose Garden with Generals Abizade and Casey, and you cited the accomplishments regarding the standing up of Iraqi troops there. You said that there were 12 battalions that were working out in Fallujah in the western part, 20 in Baghdad, 100 across the nation. And then that afternoon, Abizade and Casey went up to Capitol Hill and said, well, there's one battle-ready battalion, which led some Republican senators to say, well, the situation is getting worse. The question is, sir, it appears that between what you said and what they said, something's not adding up here.
Well, what is happening in Iraq is the following. More and more Iraqis are able to take the fight to the enemy.
More senseless, meaningless gobbledygook. What does more Iraqis mean? There were 12, and now there's 14?
And that's important to achieve our goal. And the goal is for a stable, democratic Iraq that is an ally in the war on terror.
But monkey, or is it butt monkey? You haven't answered the question, just like you haven't answered any of the other questions. His question was, why are your facts, in quotes, so different from the facts that the generals are giving out? And you say, it's important we win the war on terror. No, that's not what the question was, monkey. The question was, why are your numbers different? In other words, why did you lie? The press is sort of pretend, trying to hold you responsible for what you say, but if they're not allowed to follow up, and you're going to lie anyway, there's not a lot of point in it. If they're going to let you off the hook, because they can't look at a judge and say, sir, permission to treat the witness as hostile, that means you can lie your way out of anything. When they ask you how many lumps of sugar you want in your coffee and you say Iowa, they say, okay, and they bring you Iowa to put in your damn coffee.
Right now there are over 80 Army battalions.
No, George, your generals say there is one. And you're lying now saying there's 80. You know there's a difference, George, between the number 80 and the number 1? when the generals get under oath, they say there is one battalion, and you say, well, no, there's 80. You shouldn't be able to get to lie like that. We got about 2,000 dead men over there, George, because you keep lying, and nobody holds you responsible.
Success in Iraq is really important for our future. One of the things that our folks measure is whether or not that's taking place. And the answer is there is progress. There's obviously more work to be done. But we've got, as I said, 30 battalions are in the lead. And that's positive progress.
30? You just said 80. You know, that's what it is. A smart liar remembers the lies he told. First you say there was, 130. And then you said 80. And now you're 30, and your generals are saying one. Monkey, you gotta think. Put those two brain cells together and rub them real hard.
Let's begin tonight in the Gulf Coast, or actually, above the Gulf Coast. President Bush flew over the battered region yesterday in Marine One during his 150th visit there since Hurricane Katrina. Actually, it's his 7th visit this month. So let me just say this to the president. We get it. You're on the case now. Yeah. Everybody all right? Anybody need a sandwich? All right, everybody good? All right, see you tomorrow. Bush's visit included a look at our precious wetlands, soon to be well protected by a dense covering of casino barges. Even after repeated visits, the devastation still packed an emotional punch for the president.
Oh, Riggy, look what they've done to you, Riggy. What kind of monster storm would do such a thing? Riggy.
The president added, The trip was also a chance for Bush to mend fences with Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco, who had slammed the federal government's response to Katrina. Well, on Tuesday, she offered praise for their work with Rita.
We learned a lot of lessons from our previous experience with Katrina. I do want to tell you that some things worked right this time.
For example, this time, no one was raped at the Superdome. You know? That's one for our side. The aftermath continues to reverberate in Washington. Yesterday, ex-FEMA director and wounded puppy Michael Brown testified before a congressional panel investigating the government's response to the hurricane.
I'm not here to point blame. I'm not here to point fingers.
Do I really need to play you the next montage?
The system did not work in Louisiana. Mayor Nagin and Governor Blanco were reticent to order a mandatory evacuation. And while my heart goes out to people on fixed incomes, it is primarily a state and local responsibility.
Player got blame game. Brown's harshest words were reserved for Louisiana state and local officials.
My biggest mistake was not recognizing by Saturday that Louisiana was dysfunctional.
You didn't know Louisiana was dysfunctional? Have you ever been to Louisiana? It's a miracle the state's name is spelled right on the license plates. What should FEMA have done? Perhaps the answer can be found on their website. Well, you'll find we are not lying. This chart, clearly depicting the agency's responsibility in the event of disaster. As you notice, and this is their actual chart, it begins with a response to a disaster, leads to recovery, mitigation, risk reduction, prevention, and preparedness, and ends up back in disaster. That is their chart. In truth, FEMA did exactly what they said they were going to do. But the chart didn't keep the largely Republican panel from harshly questioning Brown, especially Connecticut's reigning John Malkovich impersonator, Christopher Shays.
Thomas Jefferson, who, you know, demanded that we amend the Constitution 10 times, and he was a strict Federalist, and he didn't believe in big government or centralized government. When he had the chance to buy the Louisiana Purchase, he jumped at it. Thank God. I have a sense that if you were there, you wouldn't have bought it.
Damn! Oh, damn! That is cold-blooded! And you know Brown was all like, oh yeah, well, your mama wouldn't have co-sponsored the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act in 1930. Bitch! Torn labrum. It soon turned into a pile-on.
I don't know how you can sleep at night. You lost the battle.
You folks fell on your face. You get an F minus in my book.
Maybe the president made a very good move when he asked you to leave your job.
You weren't capable to do the job.
By the time he left, Brown had added a new bullet point to his resume. Able to process multiple hurtful remarks without prompting.
To the end, Brown kept a tight hold on his last shred of dignity.
I've overseen over 150 presidentially declared disasters.
And I'm proud to call myself number 151.
Jerry, you presided over the largest increase in the size, the power, and the cost of the federal government since Lyndon Baines Johnson. A lot of your supporters are wondering, what's so conservative about that? And can you answer them and tell the American people, given the budget deficit, the cost of the war, the cost of Katrina, specifically by naming a specific program or revenue measure, how are you going to pay for all this?
Mm-hmm. First, let me remind people that we are at war.
There you go. His answer to everything. The reason we're missing $10 trillion from the Treasury is because 9/11. The reason I invaded Iraq was because 9/11. The reason Katrina hit and I couldn't get there was 9/11. Everything is 9/11. Everything is 9/11. He's not responsible for anything, well, except 9/11.
And I have pledged the American people, and more importantly, the troops and their families, we'll make sure they have what it takes to succeed.
More lies from the lying monkey. He's up to 196 now. When you sent those men over there, they did not have what they need. Everybody knows it. I can't believe you still tell these lies that were disproven 2 or 3 years ago. How many years has it been since we heard the stories about these guys writing home saying, Mom, I need a bulletproof vest. It's $1,200. Can you send one over here? Because I ain't got one. My buddy sitting next to me got shot. He's dead because we don't have any armor. We lost 1,000 troops just to the bombs and the roads. They didn't bother to send any armor with them. A lot of guys went over there, had no guns, had no bullets, had no water. Guess what? It's a desert. You might need a little water when you live in the desert, monkey. You did this to them. You said we had to go right away. You said we couldn't wait. And then you sent them over there, just like your daddy, without the armor they needed. And then you stand there and say it's important that we continue to give them everything they need. No, you hadn't done it yet.
Secondly, when it comes to discretionary spending, non-security discretionary spending, the budget I submitted to the United States Congress actually reduces non-security spending.
Well, that's easy for you to say, but I have no idea what the hell you just said.
We propose to eliminate or streamline 150 programs in the budget process, saving about $20 billion this year. I would ask them to make sure, as they consider the budget, that they take a look at those 150 programs.
So you're going to eliminate 150 programs, which are probably education and health related, to save $20 billion when you could rescind those stupid-ass tax cuts to the billionaires and probably save $200 million in a sneeze.
In the long run, you know, there's two big issues looming that are budgetary issues. One, and these are the unfunded liabilities inherent in the mandatory programs of Social Security and Medicare. And as you know, I've advocated the need for people to come together to address the Social Security issue. It's an issue that's not going to go away.
Monkey, we don't trust you anymore. Your approval rating is in the 30s. Nobody believes you. Nobody has any confidence in your decision-making. everything you touch turns to shit, and nobody wants to turn their financial future over to you.
And I'll continue to talk about it. There seems to be a diminished appetite in the short term. But I'm going to remind people that there is a long-term issue that we must solve, not only for the sake of the budget, but more importantly for the sake of younger workers who are going to either have to pay a ton of money in order to justify current benefits, or to take a look at the underlying causes of the growth of benefits and do something about it. Show some political courage.
Political courage? Is that what you just said? Monkey, you have borrowed hundreds of billions of dollars from the Chinese and the Saudis, and you're complaining now about how much Social Security is going to cost the next generation? They got to worry about that, but more importantly, they got to worry about the tax cuts that you borrowed and sent the bill to them.
Am I what? I'm still a conservative? Proudly so. Proudly so. Let's see, Bob.
Mr. President, as we hop around here, let me move to the Valerie Plame investigation. As you know, some top members of your administration have been named as part of that investigation. Is it your intention, if anybody in your administration is indicted, to remove that person from your administration?
I am mindful of the investigation. I'll remind you what I said last time I was asked about this. I'm not going to talk about it until the investigation is complete. And it's important that the investigation run its course. I think let's just let the process run its course.
Well, the truth is you're too embarrassed to answer the question, because if you agree that anyone who gets indicted has to leave, you're going to be alone in that big old White House.